Port Hyden Bay is partly sheltered from the ocean by a narrow strip of land that stretches north across the mouth. At the end of it is Stroganoff Point, about 5 miles across the water from the village. That's where 36-year-old Andrew Lind was headed on a Thursday afternoon.
Well, it is a beautiful, flat, calm day, and I wanted to go out kayaking out on the ocean, look at the wildlife.
Lind describes himself as a normal village guy. Originally from the Chignecks, he does subsistence, and he's a crew leader for the hazmat cleanup project at Port Hyden's old military site. Lind set out just after 1 p.m. and paddled to Stroganoff Point in his 8.5-foot plastic kayak. He took in the sights and then turned around.
Halfway back, I texted my wife and told her I'm on my way back.
Lind sent that text at 3:37 p.m.
By that time, the wind and the waves started picking up, and I got caught up in the main channel, and a white cap tipped me over.
Lind got himself out of the kayak and started trying to put it upright. But every time he tried to flip it, it would just scoop up more water and get more swamped.
So I couldn't do that, and then I just leaped the kayak upside down where there's an air pocket in the bow.
He wasn't wearing any flotation device, but he was able to keep his head out of the water by hanging onto the boat. Lind says pretty soon his arms just cramped around the kayak, holding him in place. Based on the time in the text message, Lind and his friends and family figure he was in the water somewhere between 1.5 and 3 hours. According to NOAA, the average water temperature there at this time of year is just under 40 degrees.
It felt like I was in there forever, like nobody was going to come.
Somebody did come, even before the rescue crew, but it wasn't a human someone.
At one point, there was a seal. I must have passed out or something because I heard a knock on the kayak, like somebody knocking on the door, you know? And then when I woke up, the seal was like 2 feet away from me, like a guardian angel watching over, keeping me awake.
Back in Port Hyden, Lind's wife, Miranda, realized he was overdue. Around 5:30, she started calling people to help. James Christensen is Lind's brother-in-law and a pilot who owns the only private plane in the village.
So we took off and we went out to check the islands across the bay and couldn't find them. So we started searching between the bayside and the mainland. My daughter happened to see some movement in the water.
It was just 15 minutes after they took off that Christensen's daughter spotted Lind about 2 miles offshore. They began circling low and radioed to people in the village who were launching 2 skiffs. Bruce Bishop, a coworker of Lind's, drove one of the boats.
Ironically, we got the first skiff got almost to him. He was just in front of me, got almost to him, and ran out of gas. Somebody had taken the gas out of his skiff.
Luckily, Bishop's skiff did have a full tank, and he and 2 other men made it to Lind just after 7 p.m.
Oh, my God, he was just a horrible blue color. Boy, he was just not in good shape at all. And Andrew's a big boy. Andrew's probably, 260 or better, and it was everything that the 3 of us could do to drag him over the side of the boat.
The boat crew says Lind was conscious and coherent. Lind doesn't remember anything from when he was pulled from the water until he came to at the clinic. His core temperature had dropped to 92 degrees by the time health aid started warming him up with heated blankets. This is not your typical search and rescue story. The entire operation happened in less than 2 hours with no outside help from troopers or Coast Guard. And of course, there was plenty of luck involved. If Lind hadn't had cell service, if Jimmy Christensen had been flying elsewhere that day, so many things could have ruined this happy ending. But one thing that didn't seem like luck is the way people in Port Hyden knew how to spring into action. Bruce Bishop, the skiff driver, says that's not an accident. He and some of the other rescuers all work at the hazardous waste cleanup site, so they all have up-to-date first aid, CPR, and other training. But it's not just the training.
We work together every day, we have good communication skills between us, and probably what made this all work, you know.
Andrew Lind says what kept him kicking was faith and his family.
There was lots of praying to God, talking to my family and my kids and my wife, who would take care of them if something did happen. I think that's what pushed me to hold on.
He doesn't know what to make of the seal. Later, rescuers would find that seal stayed near the kayak until well after Andrew was safely out of the water. For KDLG, I'm Hannah Colton.